It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to a special edition of Fresh Oil. Today is the holiday we call Good Friday. Have you ever read something in the Bible that just didn't make sense to you, but maybe you accepted it by faith? Perhaps like myself, you just thought, maybe I'm missing something. Well, one of those things for me was what I call the hoax of Good Friday. You see, when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees to give them a sign in Matthew 12:40, he said this, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." John recorded the same event in John chapter 2, where he says, "Then the Jews demanded of him, 'What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?' And Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days.' And the Jews replied, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?' But the temple he had spoke of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. And then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken." See, Jesus was prophesying here about his own death and resurrection. It's so important for us to understand that Jesus didn't say three parts of a day. He specifically pointed out that he would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights, a 72-hour period. And yet, if we are to believe the traditional Good Friday story given to us by the Roman Catholic Church, Christ would have been crucified on a Friday afternoon, placed in the tomb just before sunset around 6 p.m. We then know that early Sunday morning, when the two women go to prepare his body for burial with the spices, they find the stones already rolled away and Jesus had already risen. Luke 24:1-3 says this, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." So if we start Friday at 6 p.m. and count off to the resurrection, we run into some real problems. We know that Christ was already out of the tomb early Sunday morning while it was still dark. So using Friday at 6 as the starting point for his death, let's count off 3 days and three nights, like Jesus prophesied. From Friday at 6 p.m. to Saturday at 6 p.m. would have been 1 day. From Saturday at 6 p.m. till Sunday at 6 p.m. would be 2 days. But wait, Jesus is already seen out of the grave early Sunday morning while it's still dark. So using the Good Friday theory on the death of Christ, the most we can come up with that Christ was in the tomb was about 36 hours, about half the amount of time Jesus said he would be in the heart of the earth. Now you might say, "Keith, why is that so important?" Well, it's very important when you consider the fact that God does not lie. And if I can't trust him when he gives us a sign like he did in Luke 24, how can I trust him for anything else? After studying the seven feasts of Israel, the pieces began to fall in place for me regarding Christ's death, his burial, and the resurrection. I chronicle this in my book called Christ in the Seven Feasts of Israel, which is available on Amazon. And this comes from chapter 9, which is called The Hoax of Good Friday. You see, as a matter of fact, that's what the spring feasts were all about. So understanding the feasts allows us to understand when he died, when he was buried, and when he rose again. He even told his disciples in Luke 22, verse 15 and 16, he said, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." So on the eve that he was betrayed by Judas, Jesus tells his disciples that the Passover was about to find its fulfillment with his inevitable death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I want you to keep in mind that John the Baptist had the awesome responsibility of introducing Jesus to the world. And when John said in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," he was declaring to the Jews that Jesus was the true, spotless Lamb of God who would be sacrificed for our sins. He wouldn't just forgive our sins. He would take away our sinful condition. So the obvious answer would be this. Since most of the Christian world today celebrates Good Friday, there must be a reason for it, right? We then might ask ourselves how a majority of the church world could be duped into this conclusion that clearly does not fulfill the words of Christ. The concept of Good Friday was handed down to us by the Catholic Church, and they were totally unaware of the Jewish roots of our faith. So let's look now, today, and see how they came up with the concept of Good Friday. In Luke chapter 23, Joseph of Arimathea comes to Pilate, and he begs for the body of Jesus. In verse 53 and 54, it says this, "Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and then he took it down, wrapping it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin." Here it is. Luke tells us that it was the preparation day, which is the day before the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now, the Jews were forbidden to do any work on the Sabbath day, so all the preparations had to be done on the day before. So for one to properly understand this, you need to know that the Jews are on a different calendar than we are. See, in the United States, we're on the Gregorian calendar, which is based on the sun. It's a solar calendar. And the Jews are on a Hebrew calendar, which is a lunar calendar based on the moon. Here in America, our new day begins at midnight. But not so with the Jewish people. The Jewish day begins with the evening first and then the morning. You might say, where did they come up with this, Keith? I point you to the first book of the Bible and the story of creation. When God was making the heavens and the earth, he did so for 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day, giving us the reason for our Saturday Sabbath. In Genesis 1:5, which was the first day of creation, the Bible says this, "God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." Now, that same phrase is used with each successive day of creation. And there was evening and there was morning. So for the Jewish people, their day begins at sunset. So their Saturday Sabbath actually starts Friday at sunset. So all the preparations had to be done in advance. And they call the day before the Sabbath the preparation day. Now, one would naturally concede that when Joseph of Arimathea went to secure the body of Christ for burial, if the scripture says it was the preparation day, then we would automatically assume it had to be Friday. The problem with this scenario is the Catholic Church did not understand that there was more than one Sabbath that the Jews celebrated. You see, there was the weekly Sabbath that occurred 52 times a year, and then there were seven other Sabbaths that came on an annual basis, and they're called the special Sabbaths or the high holy days. So now we're left with figuring out if the Sabbath the Jews were preparing for, was it a weekly Sabbath or was it one of the seven special Sabbaths? Wouldn't it be great if the scripture told us this? Well, it just so happens that it does. It was there all the time, hiding in plain sight. John's gospel is so vital in understanding this mystery. John tells us in John 19:31, "Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath." Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. There it is. John pointed out that this Sabbath was a special Sabbath. The King James says this, "For that Sabbath day was an high day." See, the Jews call the seven feasts of Israel high days or special Sabbaths. Now we know it was not the Saturday Sabbath that was drawing near. It was one of the special Sabbaths. So now we're left in figuring out which one was it of the seven. Well, it was in the spring of the year, so we know it had to be one of the three spring feasts. The Jews came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Remember, Jesus celebrated the Passover early with his disciples. He said in Luke 22:15-16, "I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." So Jesus prophesied here that that Passover would find its fulfillment before the next one rolled around. So which feast was it of the three? Passover, unleavened bread, or the feast of first fruits? Let me show you how awesome the God of creation was and how he caused the calendar to work out so perfectly in that year, 30 AD, when Christ was crucified. Passover took place on the 14th day of the month of Aviv, which is the Hebrew word for spring. The Jews also call it Nisan, which was the Babylonian name for that month. Since we don't know the day of the week on which the crucifixion took place, what we do know is the first time the tomb was seen empty. That was early Sunday morning while it was still dark. We also know the time that Jesus went into the grave. It was right before the sun was setting. Since Jesus stated he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights, we could reasonably assume that he would have come out of the tomb as the sun was going down Saturday and the new day was dawning, which would be Sunday, as the sun was setting late Saturday night. It was the Jewish feast of first fruits. See, even though the whole world celebrates the resurrection on Easter morning, Christ would have never stayed in the tomb 1 minute more than necessary. 3 days and three nights would mean he would come out of the tomb at the same time he went into the tomb. That would be sunset around 6 p.m. Now remember, the Apostle Paul referred to Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:20 by saying, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Since we know that Christ would have come out of the grave as the Saturday sun was setting, making it Sunday at sunset, all we have to do is back up 3 days and three nights, and we see the amazing way that God made the calendar fall that year. See, Thursday, Nisan 14, was Passover. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday afternoon at 3. He then was placed in the tomb as Thursday was dawning at the sunset on Nisan 13, making it Thursday. And so the first day he was in the grave was Passover. He was the Lamb of God atoning for the sins of mankind. The next day, Friday, was also a special Sabbath. It was the Sabbath of unleavened bread. Jesus, the bread of life, took away our sin. How interesting that the next day was the weekly Sabbath. It was Saturday, the weekly Sabbath. And at that point, Christ became our Sabbath rest. No longer do we strive for acceptance from Father God. We now receive it freely because of Christ. And then as the sun was setting on that Saturday night, it became another holiday that was called the Feast of First Fruits. And Jesus Christ became the first fruits of our resurrection, prophesying that God would one day raise us from the dead, just as he did his own son, so that we can spend eternity with him. So the 3 days that Jesus would fulfill the sign of Jonah, that 72-hour period, would line up perfectly with God's calendar that year. So I just want to give you this message today so you can see that God is faithful to his word, and he will perform it exactly as he said. I hope you enjoyed this today. Walk in grace. God loves you, friend, with an everlasting love. He really, really does.
We are excited to announce the release of Keith's new book entitled This Is My Story. Available now on Amazon.com for only $9.95 in paperback or $14.95 for hardcover. You can also order the ebook for your Kindle. This book is filled with stories telling the defining moments in Keith's life and career. In this book, Keith takes you on a journey from his early days as a gospel singer touring in CCM music to a pivotal moment when he faced a serious health challenge, as told in a chapter entitled, God Don't Waste Pain. Through his experiences, you will be inspired and challenged to embrace the story God has uniquely planned for your life. Order today on Amazon.com. Just search Keith Manley, This Is My Story.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.